Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
Happy Sunday, everybody.
Did you know that when you read the transcript for this, it says encrypted?
Oh, it does.
Not encrypted. Yeah.
Encrypted.
Encrypted podcast.
I could see that happening. Yeah,
it makes me laugh. Because, like, sometimes when I'm updating our list of, like, episodes, I have to go back to remember where things were.
Yeah.
So I'll, like, scroll through it and it says, welcome to da-da-da-da-da and encrypted podcast. I'm like, that's not what this is. But okay.
That's funny. So, mid-March.
Yeah, happy March Madness, everybody.
Yeah. Hope your brackets are doing well.
Go Duke.
If you did one. I did not. But
this is the first time I've done one in a really long time. But
it's an app now, right? You can do it on an app.
Mine is through work, and he set it up through the ESPN website.
That app thing. All my friends have an app, and it looks like it's really easy to use.
Okay,
because that's why I didn't like doing it. It was like there was no really good way to track. Like you would have to go onto a website, and I just don't have that patience.
That's fair.
So
so ours is just through like ESPN, and then I had a fifth grader tell me which teams to pick. The first set of games, the first four on like a Thursday night or whatever, we had 3 out of 4 wrong.
Oops.
And I was like, are you sure about this one? And he was like, yeah. I was like, are you sure? Because it was like Michigan versus whoever. And I was like, are you sure not Michigan? Because usually Michigan goes pretty far.
Yeah.
And he was like, nope, don't do Michigan. Do this one. And he was wrong.
So. Idiot. I'm just kidding.
yeah, dumbass. No. He's a great kid. So, and the next morning I was like, hey, we're batting 25% right now, friend. He was like, oh, crap. I was like, it's okay. We got a lot of time. So as long as Duke doesn't get knocked out right away, we're still in the running.
Yeah.
So.
I start a new job tomorrow.
You do? Are you super excited and nervous?
I'm nervous. I am excited. It's just obviously nerve-wracking starting a new job in a new, it's not a new industry, but it's definitely a new, something I've never done before.
Right.
And it's also 100% remote, and the company is based out of a different state than we are in. So,
yeah,
I'm just a little bit nervous about how it's all going to work, especially with, like, training.
Right.
You know?
At least it's the same time zone.
Mm-mm. They're Eastern.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Does that mean you have to get up?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
I guess you'll find out tomorrow.
I'm salaried, not hourly. Okay. So, I don't know if that'll make a difference. I know tomorrow I start at 9 a.m. our time, so.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And
somebody named Sirius is going to be pretty happy to have his mom home.
He'll let me home full time.
More time, at least.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. And I think I'm going to be good at it.
Yeah.
Once we get into it. But it's just, like, so much unknown right now.
Right. The learning curve.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. The learning curve is always scary.
And it took me a while to feel comfortable at my last job.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm just hoping. And not, it was more comfortable with, like, than what I was learning and, like, the knowledge and the that of it.
Right.
Not anything else. I was
not the social, emotional, the, like, actual, like,
company,
doing of the job. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what will happen. But
I'm excited to hear.
Keep me in your thoughts.
It's going to be great. You're going to do great. You've always been a quick learner. And
yeah.
And you're good with people. So.
Yeah. I do like people. So. I can pretty much talk to anyone, I feel like. I like knowledge.
Yeah. I feel like you and I are similar in that way. Like, we like learning things.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And, yeah, so it'll be nice to be home 100%.
Except for when you travel.
Yeah.
Which will be
fun.
I'm a little jealous, I'm not going to lie. I wish that I was in a career where I could travel for work.
Yes.
Everybody who does it says it kind of sucks, but I don't care. It's still travel.
2 trips in April already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is one of them to, like, the home office or?
Yeah. So, well, one of them's just a day trip down to Iowa to visit one of their partners. And then.
In Iowa are you going?
Mason City.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jody, who's in Troop Baby.
Oh, yeah.
You could go see our apartment building.
I could.
And you could go see. Go find her. I'm like, go find her. I need to know where she went. And it really, that one really bothers me.
The second one is to Columbus,
okay,
Ohio for 2 days, and then their head office is located in Cleveland.
Okay.
So since I'm already going to be in the state, they just were like, would you want to drive up to Cleveland for a day, stay a night in Cleveland and then meet everybody in the office, and then we'll fly you home.
Oh, that's really
from
cool.
Cleveland. So.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you.
There's that. That's my update. So I guess next time we record, I can give a three weeks, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Update. So.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy that it worked out.
Yeah. Thanks. It's like kind of a stressful time there for me.
For a while, but
everything happens for a reason, and
right.
Yeah.
Maybe
I truly believe in the universe, and everything happens for a reason. I believe I'm on this path for something specific.
Yeah.
I just don't know what yet. So
I love that.
All right, let's get into my story. So this week I'm doing a missing person. I texted Danielle this morning. Well, she texted me. She's like, I'll be there at 10:30. I was like, oh, can you come at 11? Because my whole story didn't save. So I had to rewrite the whole thing this morning.
I did a missing person too.
You did?
Yeah. Oh,
God. Mine are missing people.
Okay, mine's one.
Okay, good.
There's going to be a day. Because, like, I know we've done repeats on accident.
Twice.
Yeah. There's going to be a day.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So two missing person cases this week.
This, yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
Cool. So I'm going to be telling the story of Diamond and Tionda Bradley.
No.
I hadn't heard it either. So this takes place in Chicago back in the year 2001. So on July 6th, 2001, around 4:30 a.m., a man. Okay, so here's what I want to ask. I don't have, there's this boy, a boyfriend in this scenario, story.
Okay.
They online gave him a fake name.
Okay.
Do you want me to use a fake name or do you want me to just say the boyfriend?
I mean, I feel like if there's a reason they gave him a fake name, then maybe use the fake name.
Fake name. Okay. Yeah. I'll just use the name, fake name. So the fake name was Tom. So on July 6th, around 4:30 a.m., Tom arrived to the apartment of Tracy Bradley, who was his girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
I put that kind of lightly. But Tracy had four daughters, Rita, who was 12, Tionda, who was 10, Victoria, who was 9, and Diamond, who was 3.
Oh, my God, babies.
2 hours later, so about 6:30 a.m., Tom drove Tracy to her job at a place called Robert Taylor Homes, which was another apartment complex where Tracy helped prepare breakfast and lunch for the residents. I'm assuming it was maybe like a senior living kind of situation.
Okay.
But I don't know that for sure. So the night before, Rita, who was 12, and Victoria, who was 9, had spent the night at Tracy's mom's house. So it was just Tionda, who was 10, and Diamond, who was 3, left at the apartment.
Okay.
I guess Tracy left them at the apartment by themselves. I mean, 10. She's 10.
That's, yeah. I mean, mom and dad started leaving me home alone at 10.
Yeah. So. I don't think that's weird.
No. I mean, especially if it's just going to be like an hour or two.
It was like, she left at 6:30 and she got back around 11:30.
So, yeah, that's not, I mean, that's a couple hours.
And I know people are like, school, but, like, this was the summer, so they weren't in school, whatever. So, Tracy gave her kids strict instructions for when she was at work, and that was don't go anywhere and don't open the door for anyone. That was, like,
good rules.
Ingrained into them, so Tracy would call the house periodically throughout the morning to check on the girls and make sure everything was okay. So that day, Tracy called the home 3 times between 8 and 9 a.m., but Tionda did not answer any of the calls.
Oh, God.
It would come out in later investigations that there were other calls to Tracy's apartment that also went unanswered that day, and there were 2 hang-up calls or that morning. So okay. Other people were also calling and nobody answered except for 2 times where it was hung up.
Interesting.
Around 11:30 a.m. that morning, Tracy arrived back to the apartment from work, and Tracy stated that usually when she got home from work, Tionda and Diamond would be hanging out on the couch in the living room, either watching a show or playing a game, but today the apartment was silent. After panic searching the whole apartment and finding that the girls weren't there, Tracy found a note written in Tionda's handwriting stating that the girls were planning to go to the store and then to a nearby school playground. This was odd on a few different levels. because although it was confirmed that the note was written in Tiana's handwriting, her older sister Rita has come out and said that they had A, never written notes for their mother before.
Okay.
And B, the girls knew never to leave the apartment when their mom wasn't home.
Right.
Like, they wouldn't just go.
Like, in case there's, like, unless there's, like, a fire right. or an emergency yeah. or something, they right. wouldn't just be like, okay, we're going to go to the store
and we're going to go to the park. No, like, they wouldn't have done that. They okay. would have waited for their mom to come home. And then the other thing was that no one's ever seen the note besides the FBI and the family.
Interesting.
So there's no, like, pictures or anything out there of it.
Interesting. I wonder why.
Like, under lock and key, essentially. So
I wonder why. Because, yeah, like, that seems, especially if they're like, oh, it's her handwriting. Like, why would you be so secretive about that?
Yeah. And there was also, well, I'm going to just keep going. There's one more thing about the note, but I must have put it after this next part. Okay. So, several years later, some of Tianda's classmates would also come out and claim that they saw the two girls at the playground that day, but because so much time had passed, we can't really know for sure if that's true or not. Seems weird to me that they would come out later, but not right away.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I mean, unless they're afraid of, like, getting in trouble or something, but I don't, I mean, still.
Oh, and then, yeah, the last thing about the note is that, although, yeah, it is her handwriting, the wording of it wasn't.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Okay. How it was so, like, not how she'd talk.
Yeah. And we don't have the exact words because nobody knows what the note actually says. Just the general, we're going to the store and then we're going to the park.
Okay.
But according to her family, like, it wasn't written in a way that seemed like it was her own thought process.
Okay.
So after seeing, so then obviously people wonder, was she forced to write the note?
Right.
Right. So, okay.
If after, I ever am forced to write a note, I'm spelling my name wrong, just so you know.
Good to know. Okay. Yeah. So after seeing the note, Tracy made a ton of calls to neighbors and family members to see if they had seen or heard from the girls, but no one had. She had her sister, go pick up Rita and Victoria.
So the girl's aunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the whole extended family went out to search for the girls. According to the police, Tom, who had been in the apartment with Tracy that morning, did not help with the search for the two girls and instead went out and hung with another one of his girlfriends. That's why I kind of put the term girlfriend loosely.
Okay. So they were more like,
I don't know if she thought they were exclusive and he didn't. I don't know if he was just like an asshole. I have no idea.
Together, but not together.
Yeah, I don't really know. But. Okay, so after searching all day without finding a trace of the two girls, Tracy finally called the police around 7 p.m. to report them missing. At this point, it had been at least 7.5 hours. A lot of people kind of go after Tracy for waiting so long.
Right.
But she has come out and been like, you know what? No parent. Most parents have never been in this situation before.
Right.
My thought process was, I need to go find them. It wasn't, I'm gonna call the police.
Right.
It was like, I want to be out there and I need to go look.
Well,
like,
and their socioeconomic backgrounds and their demographic background is not, maybe, yeah, definitely, like,
they
plays
did
into that
say,
and
yeah, there was a little thing that did in there saying that there was some, like, mistrust,
right,
of law enforcement from something that had happened in the past. So they just, and she was scared that they were going to call Child Protective Services,
right, which is a legit concern.
Yeah,
I can understand that. So,
but basically she was just like,
when people are so mean to people like that, like,
yeah, she's like, you, until you've been in that situation, like, don't come at me, basically.
Right. So, which is fair.
Yeah. Police response was immediate and large, which a lot of people did find kind of surprising, considering they were two black girls. But the initial search for the girls included 3 beat cars, 2 supervisors, and 2 canine units, which combed through the neighborhood, dumpsters, yards, vacant lots, businesses, and the lakefront. The search would expand and become the largest missing person search in Chicago's history at the time. It included involvement from the FBI and a tip line that brought more than 824 tips, none of which went anywhere.
Wow.
This all made me very happy to find out, because we don't always see this response.
Right.
So,
right,
I was happy when I read that. The day after the girls disappeared, Tracy's sister decided to check out her Tracy's voicemail on her cell phone, as she was the one who had set up the family plan and knew all the pins.
Okay.
So when she did that, she found that there was a message from Tianda. In the voicemail, she says, quote, "Mom, Mom, answer the phone. Tom is at the door with cake," end quote. The person they believe to be at the door with the cake was none other than Tracy's boyfriend.
Yeah.
I put that in quotes. Who had been at the apartment with her earlier that morning. There was a little bit, I guess one of their neighbors was also named Tom.
Oh.
So there was like a little bit of, okay, was it
the boyfriend, the neighbor, or the neighbor?
Or the boyfriend?
Okay.
But I guess the neighbor had a very distinct nickname that everybody called him. Okay. So they were like, if it was a neighbor, she wouldn't have said Tom. She would have said like
Stinky or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Like the nickname. Yeah.
Okay.
So they,
I don't know why Stinky was the first nickname that I thought of.
So they believe that it was Tom, the boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
The guy friend.
Yeah. After that day, though, the voicemail has seemed to have disappeared.
Oh, my God.
Her sister thinks she might have accidentally deleted it, but she's not 100% sure. They don't really know. Tracy states that she herself never heard it, and the private investigator that she still has to this day states that he thinks that the FBI has the voicemail, but, like, the note, they're just not.
They're just not sharing.
Sharing it and telling people about it. So
that's so weird.
I know. I don't know why they're keeping this so, like, hush, tight. Hush. It's weird.
Yeah.
The only thing we know for certain about this voicemail is that the Chicago Police Department does not have it in their evidence locker. So
allegedly.
Right. Just 2 months after the girls disappeared, unfortunately, the attack on the World Trade Center has happened, and the media attention and leads for the two girls' case dried up, obviously. Oh. Which is actually kind of interesting. I know this is, I've heard it before in one other case, but
yeah.
Think about all those people that could have gone missing around that time, and like, it just
there's
never.
There's that really famous one from New York, from New York. The doctor or whatever, right?
Who literally,
the woman
disappeared.
Like, vanishes on.
On
like the 10th September or the 11th. It's like that, the morning of or before or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
That one's crazy too. Sometimes I'm like, if it's a big enough story, do we just leave the Midwest and do it?
You should. I mean, we should. I don't think it really matters.
I looked at Rowena Bobbitt, and she is not Midwest, so she's East Coast.
Okay. But police are still working the case, and their search started to tune into one specific man, which I'm sure you can all guess
was the boyfriend, Tom.
Yeah. Tracy had been dating him for a while, and although he denied paternity of Diamond, not long after the girls disappeared, Tracy demanded he take a paternity test, and the results came in, and he was, in fact, Diamond's father.
Interesting.
In the days leading up to July 6th, he also did some things that were out of character for him. First, he planned a camping trip for Tracy, Diamond, and Tianda, even though the group had never been camping together before, and it was also weird that he only took two of the girls and not the rest.
Right.
Also noted that the boyfriend never took on a father figure role in any of the girls' lives, and in fact, they had hardly ever interacted with him. They said that they pretty much basically had ridden in a car with him a few times, and that was pretty much it.
So it was just kind of
This
is my mom's friend.
Yeah, like, why are we all of a sudden going on a camping trip?
Yeah,
like,
that's
it was
weird.
On July 7th, so the day after the disappearances, Tom had bought a package of 42-gallon contractor bags, gardening gloves, and a pair of neoprene protective gloves. When police searched his home a few days after the disappearance, they found that five of the bags were missing, as well as the gardening gloves were never found. A neighbor had also stated that they had seen him burning something in a 55-gallon drum, and several others had noted that they had seen him loading that drum, into the trunk of his car, leaving, then returning about 45 minutes later. The FBI reported that there was evidence of charring on the rafters of his garage, as well as imprints in the truck that matched the size and shape of a trash barrel, but, I mean, they don't have anything else really to go on. Unfortunately, with that, there was also a blanket in the trunk of the car that had several of Tianda's hairs on it, but Tom claimed that he had taken Tracy and her daughters to a drive-in movie, and he had made Tianda and Diamond hide in the trunk so he didn't have to pay for their tickets, which is something I would do.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Let's be honest, a lot of our family would do that.
But Rita, who is the oldest sister, claims that this never happened. Like, they never went to the movies. It has also been stated that Tom was an avid cell phone user, and on the day the girls disappeared, he made over 40 phone calls in 24 hours. There were two stretches that day, however, that did not have any calls made. The first between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. and the second between 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Not super incriminating, but a little suspicious.
Yeah.
If someone's like
very consistently
yeah. on their phone and then all of a sudden there's these weird periods of time where they're not.
Yeah.
Unless he was nap. I don't know, but still.
Not and that those are both weird times to like take a nap too, because like.
But he had been up since 4:30 and had driven her to work, so that's my only like playing devil's advocate on that. I still think it's weird.
It's still weird, yeah.
That's just me playing devil's advocate. So Tom, of course, denies any of this ever happened, and he has never been charged with anything to do with the girls' disappearances. I don't even know if he's been officially named a person of interest. I couldn't find anything on that. But,
well,
it seems like he's kind of the one they zoned in on.
Okay.
I will say that there has been, in the years, some, like sightings and things. Like, they're not giving up hope. The family thinks they could still potentially be out there somewhere. Yeah. But
like the no body, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You said it was missing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they've never been found. No body's never been found. Nothing like that. It's kind of interesting. So Tracy's aunt.
Okay.
Sheila. So they're the girl's great aunt.
Yes.
Her story is kind of sweet. So after the day after and for like weeks after the girls disappeared, she would literally sit in the apartment complex all night and like watch people go in and out of the apartment and like track people and try to figure out. She's trying to figure out who took the girls. But she did this for a very long time. Obviously, nothing ever came of it. But she moved to Crystal, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I guess there was a young boy who went missing here at some time. I didn't get the exact date or year, but she felt like she had to do something because she was like, I can't.
She's got experience.
Yeah. Like, so she like took it upon herself to like make flyers and organize like search parties and all this stuff. And she really wanted to be able to find this child, and she did eventually find the child. The child was deceased, unfortunately. Wow. I guess the father had killed the child and dumped him in the river. But
oh my god, that's so sad.
She was able to bring a child home, and she was like, you know, she was obviously happy, but at the same time she's like, why was I able to find this child, but I've not been able to find
the one that I care.
So. But I mean, she seems like a really, really incredible woman is like a good way to put that. So, like I said, unfortunately, the girls have never been found to this day. I briefly mentioned it before, but Tracy has hired a private investigator to try to help solve the case, and police are still trying to solve it, even though it has gone very cold at this point. So, that is it. That is the story of Tionda and Diamond Bradley.
That is crazy.
Yeah. What do you have any
thoughts? I want to say I hope they're still alive.
It's just so hard after this.
My concern, so with the little one, I could see the little one being a kidnap to raise, because she was only three, Diamond was, but 10 to like brainwash somebody so thoroughly.
You don't think it was Tom then?
I don't know.
Because then why?
Because like, what's the motivation for him to do it? Like,
I don't think he wanted to be a father.
But he wasn't a father to both.
You're right.
And he didn't even believe he was the father to the one.
But then what about the voicemail? Saying he was at the door with cake.
I don't know.
And in my mind, if it's not Tom, it's somebody they know, right?
Because
they're not opening that door.
Right.
Unless it's somebody they know.
Right.
And even if it was, like, they knew Tom, and she still called her. Allegedly called her mom
and was like, hey.
Answer the phone. Like, I'm sure in my mind she's calling her mom and being like, can I answer the door for Tom?
Yeah, it's this person that
I know. Can I answer the door?
Yeah,
that's what it. So in my mind, if it wasn't Tom, it was somebody they knew.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I would agree with that, but I don't
have any other.
God, that it's just
how crazy how people can vanish,
right?
I say that every time, but.
And especially, like, I mean, I know that was the early 2000s, but, like, we still had cameras and cell phones and like it wasn't obviously the technology we have today.
Yeah.
But like when people vanish today, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
Cuz it's like how?
Yeah.
You know, cuz even in our parents' house, you can't leave the house without being caught on at least one camera.
At least, yeah.
So
two.
Depending on which way you go. Yeah. Like if you went out the back way, one,
front two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So either way, you're going to get caught by at least one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So my sources were OprahDaily.com, ABC7Chicago.com, and Medium.com.
Our socials are MWMadnessPodcast@gmail.com. That is also our Instagram, and then Midwest Madness Podcast on Facebook. We really need to get better at posting on socials.
I'm sorry.
Maybe that should have been our Lent project.
Should have been our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, it should have. All right. We do it for our birthday. Our birthday resolution for the podcast is to get better at posting on socials.
Perfect. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your week. We will talk to you next Tuesday.
Bye.